Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for November 22nd, 2018, Thanksgiving Day, 2018. And tonight's show, I'll be talking about something that you should hear about if you go to church. It's something you really should hear there, but you won't. It's something that you should hear in the newspapers, but won't, or any news media, and you won't hear it there either. It's something you should definitely see in the science news media, but you will not. And where exactly could you hear such information? Might you hear it on alternative shows that talk about deep esoteric topics? No, you won't hear it there. Really, the only place you're going to hear this information is on this radio show. And that's why a lot of people listen. But first of all, I want to welcome many families listen to this show on Thanksgiving evening. So that means there'll be some new listeners who possibly have not heard this show before. And I cover topics that literally you're not going to hear anyplace else. But also, I don't pull any punches. I don't soft sell any issues. And so tonight I'm going to cover some issues that may shock or surprise some of you, mainly because it's the first time you've heard or thought about these things. But anyway, just a little bit of commentary on Thanksgiving and what it's turned into. Well, let's go back to the very beginning. Thanksgiving was initiated by the pilgrims that landed at Plymouth Rock in the northeastern part of the United States. And remember, they were not the first group to arrive. There were groups that came prior to them that were not successful at all. They were just disappeared. Nobody ever heard anything from them again. We don't know, but the first real successful group was the Mayflower with the Pilgrims, as we call them. And why were they pilgrims? Because they were leaving religious persecution, of which there was a plenty in those years. Then, of course, 1492, Columbus made the first discovery of the New World, and it was not long until people started to cross the Atlantic trying to make a new home. And ultimately, the story of Thanksgiving is that they were able to produce enough food to last through the what appears to be the second winter, as they spent the first winter on the ships, because they didn't arrive until like November. And so this was not a good situation. They actually sat on the boat on anchor offshore, and then the second year, the story goes that the Native Americans helped them plant and successfully harvest, so that in the fall they had the first Thanksgiving Day, giving thanks for their ability to live, etc., and progress as a colony. So that was the first successful one. And so today, in honor of that, and of course there's all levels of controversy regarding the first Thanksgiving Day, etc., but as with many stories, it probably has been embellished or possibly, history was difficult to find. In fact, it was they weren't quite sure about the Plymouth Rock story for a number of years. Apparently, it was almost 100 years later until they established and that it was Plymouth Rock where they actually made the first landing. And that was established by a person maybe 70 years after the landing at Plymouth Rock, who talked to actual people who landed at Plymouth Rock and confirmed that that was the actual landing place. So anyway, with all of that in mind, what has Thanksgiving become? It started out as a Christian holiday of thanksgiving for the ability to, for providence, as it's called, or the ability of God to provide for people in the stressful situation, which that certainly was. But now we have Black Friday. So leave it to merchants to take something that was just a simple holiday to give thanks and to turn it into a mercantile bonanza, the biggest shopping day of the year, allegedly. I don't know if that's true. But beginning the frenzy that leads up to Christian holiday of Christmas, which again is changed into one of the biggest mercantile seasons of the year, with Santa Claus and Christmas trees and everything else that goes with it. As far as that's concerned, if you believe that, for example, with Easter, which is another Christian holiday turned into mercantile bonanza, if you believe that bunnies lay painted eggs, then, buddy, you believe probably almost anything, and probably do. But anyway, the Macy's Day Parade was originally instigated to bring all the people downtown so that then they'd open up the store with big sales and have, you know, crowds of people, throngs of people there to purchase their goods, to buy the store out to the walls. But I think the bigger issue today with this whole tradition of a Christian country, the United States, originally being built on Christian values, is the core of the family. And the family is under attack from all directions. It is just unbelievable, the attacks that are, and very subtle attacks, the schism that comes in family, the division because of political views is one thing that's going on today. So don't start talking about politics at Thanksgiving if the family is there. It's sure to end in some kind of divide. But secondly, also just family members. This is something that's been going on because the family is a unit where the husband and wife leave their families and create a new family. And it's not going to be like other families necessarily that have separated from their parents and become families. But within the family unit, the immediate relatives, a lot of times there is a lack of honor of this concept that these two people started a family of their own and have control of their lives. And so there's a lot of antagonism in families amongst family members, close family members many times, who try to manipulate or become involved in decisions or don't honor the concept of the family, the husband and the wife as the head of the family with the children. And that's a family unit. So at any rate, I hope that everybody listening today takes a little bit to heart the idea of the family unit, that there is society and the family functions in society, but ultimately it's the parents that run the family. Okay, well, enough of that. Just a quick comment here. I was talking before on Comet 46P Wortmann will be closest approach to Earth on December 17th. Only 30 lunar distances, very close for a comet, the 10th closest comet to Earth in history, in modern history. We don't really know how close Venus, the comet, came to Earth. That's not recorded. It's not a known scientific fact, although we probably, if NASA had used its resources to research that instead of denying it, we might have a better picture of that. But it's not going to be an Earth-damaging comet. I don't know if we are going to get close enough to have action at a distance, electromagnetic effects, but certainly not gravitational. It's obviously a small comet, but once again, in the news media, you hear, oh, the little icy ball, the small icy wanderer. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, comets are not dirty snowballs. This myth that is still propagated in the news media, in the anything that you would read as a person, even in higher level scientific journals, comets are not dirty snowballs. They're electrical. They are the discharge of the solar capacitor. There's typically no ice, water, or snow of any kind, and there's nothing coming off the nucleus. In fact, I just saw another article before doing the show. It was on spaceweather.com, which is one of the mouthpieces for disinformation about weather, but talking about a two-tailed comet. And this is very typical. Comets a lot of times have two tails. Some comets have many, many tails. Hale-Bopp, for example, had many tails, up to 17 tails. But you needed specialized equipment to see that. But it's just comical to see the news media still playing out this dirty snowball comet model. The European Space Agency has landed on a comet nucleus. No water, no ice, no snow, nothing coming off the nucleus, yet the news media continues to elucidate this ridiculous mime that has no basis at all. There's something in the news, you might see this floating around, that allegedly, this is the claim, which is once again absolutely ridiculous, that there's a dark matter hurricane headed towards Earth. Now, this is not kidding. This is like a outer space hurricane, these scientists are saying. And the last 2 weeks, I talked about astronomers at Harvard claiming that an object called Oumuamua, I think it's the pronunciation, it's a Hawaiian term, because this one of the telescopes at Hawaii discovered this object, a long pin-like object that was hurtling through the solar system, that it was an alien spacecraft powered by laser beams from another solar system to spy on Earth. These people are getting paid for this. Oh my goodness, Harvard University has really gone down the tubes. But this week, the disaster story of the week coming out of the astronomy world is that a dark matter hurricane is hurtling through outer space towards Earth. Now, you know, it's just getting goofier and goofier every week. I think the U.S. now is funding a return to the Moon and Mars program, so that gives plenty of monetary support for people who really aren't doing anything. They're just making claims and making speculation about, oh, maybe it'll be a three-stage lander this time, not a two-stage lander like the last time. The last time, allegedly, if you believe that, that'd be a good topic to get some rowdy conversation going at Thanksgiving amongst family members, is did NASA go to the moon? That's sure to bring a fight, a Donnybrook, into some families. Anyway, right now the ongoing funding of Moon and Mars missions is bringing a lot of animation, let's put it that way. Not any real activity that would actually cause those things to happen, just a lot of chatter. A comment on the California fires. Now, if you look at the photograph, the aerial photograph of areas burned, entire blocks, including cement, burned, cars burned to nothing. And around it, trees, forests, woods, where the houses are completely, there's nothing left. The fire was so intense that there was nothing left, yet there were trees all around, perfectly green, growing just like normal, not singed at all. Something very strange happened with the California fires. And I got to say this about two issues with Trump. He went there, of course, and he said they're going to work hard to help clean up the situation. And allegedly, the statement is that the fires were caused by lack of control of underbrush. But when you look at these pictures, none of the woods is burned. It's only the houses. Only the houses. I mean, I'll grab one of these pictures, hopefully, and just put it on my homepage at the top there. And my goodness, how can you look at this and say this is a normal fire? Well, that's all I'm going to say. There's a lot of commentary on the internet regarding that particular topic. So, I don't know what to say. These are not normal fires, certainly not under normal conditions. This is a story that is actually going to lead into my main science topic. And now, about maybe 30 years ago and then 25 years ago, there were two stories that hit the news media. One was James Jones, a guy who left the United States for Guyana and took a lot of people with him, and they started a colony called Jonestown in the country of Guyana, South America, and there was a lot of activity. Congressmen went there. There was a tremendous amount of concern that someone would leave the United States, set out in... I mean, let's talk about, this is similar to the Thanksgiving story of the pilgrims who literally were being persecuted. They were being arrested. They were being imprisoned and for their religious beliefs. So the pilgrims went up to Amsterdam where they procured their boats, the Mayflower, etc., to come across the ocean. But James Jones was simply starting a colony, and they ended all dying. Now, the word on the inside is, of course, that the CIA went in and basically poisoned them, and that is the inside story. They built it, of course, in the fake news media, and, of course, fake news was common back then. It was just as common then as it is now. It's just that now people are starting to uncover the onion layers of news to understand that it's created news. But in the case of James Jones and Jonestown, these people were simply murdered. And allegedly they drank a porridge, and allegedly it was instigated by Jones himself to poison his followers so that they wouldn't leave. Well, anyway, the poison that was used was a concoction. We eventually became to call this the CIA porridge. That was the somewhat insider terminology of people that understand, like myself, what happened there. They were poisoned, and they were infiltrated, and ultimately, then it was blown all over. Oh, look at crazy people trying to leave the United States, putting a negative twist on the idea that anybody would leave the United States en masse. And they were very afraid that this group would become successful and more people would join them. The same theme occurred now, and this is going to get into the science topic of tonight. Back in the 1995, there was a comet called Hale-Bopp that was discovered, and there was a group called Heaven's Gate, which is a very interesting term. It comes from the New Testament discussion of Christ's discussion of the end days. And the what some people term the rapture, in other words, people being called up and judged, etc. But anyway, be that as it may, once again, we have something like 37 people allegedly committing suicide, and it's blown all over the front page of the newspapers that this group was believed that they were going to be saved, that they were going to be hauled away by aliens from the comet Hale-Bopp. and allegedly committed suicide because they were preparing themselves to be hauled away by the aliens. And so the interesting part is that they were poisoned by the same exact CIA porridge. It was the exact same poison formula. And allegedly, it was in a vodka mix. Now, these are people that didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they didn't do drugs. They were very keen on health, on good health. And they were very purists in terms of what they put in their bodies, etc. And so the whole idea that they somehow went in and committed mass suicide, well, it just isn't true. They were, once again, it was the CIA that went in and killed them, and the story is exactly the same. Because there were at least 30,000 people on airplanes and in vehicles, automobiles, buses, trains, whatever mode of transportation, that were on their way at that time to meet in Los Angeles and go, and they were going to go sit out on a hillside outside of LA and wait for the comet to come. So that's very interesting. That why is the CIA so concerned about groups that would leave the system and take an avenue like this? And so anyway, this comes back to a very interesting passage, and the reason this comes up in this particular time, the reason I'm bringing up this up is I'm not bringing it up. This was regurgitated, the standard stories were regurgitated in the news media this past week, both stories. And why would you dig this up? I mean, this is ancient history. Why would the standard news media use blanket coverage? Now, when you see blanket coverage, that means they want everybody to see this. Blanket coverage is a news media term where this, everybody will see this, and then they regurgitate the standard story, both of Jonestown and of Heaven's Gate, the alleged suicides. Now, the article on Heaven's Gate appeared in space.com, another mouthpiece. It's a NASA mouthpiece, CIA-sponsored mouthpiece for the disinformation community. And so while they are concurrently running stories about comets being snowballs and just pounding that down your throat, the woman, a young lady who wrote this article about Heaven's Gate, went through all of the standard baloney regarding this mass murder, but she wasn't even born when this happened. She had no idea what was going on in the world, let alone politically, etc. And, you know, these young reporters, of which you are going to see many in the news media, have degrees in, like, science study journalism. If you see a course in college or university level and it's something studies, that means it's about as bland and useless a degree as you could possibly have. So science studies pretty much means you just go out and read some books about science, and then you think you're an expert, and you can go out and write articles. So clearly this was not hard-hitting journalism. It was not anything investigative. It was simply writing a story that was handed to this person with the details that were handed to her. So, and then in the case of the Jonestown, it was on mainstream media. And so you have a science-specific, a space-specific webpage called space.com running this story about Heaven's Gate, and then the general news media running the story about Jonestown. And interestingly enough, last Sunday, in the normal course of the Christian calendar, the Sunday reading from the Gospel was regarding the end day prophecies given by Christ and in the Old Testament by Daniel. So both of those are very, very specific. Very specific. And especially that of Christ. And the if you want to go check it out, it's Mark 13:24-36 is the chapter and verse. So it's chapter 13, verse 24-36. But then you should read a little bit before that, too, as to how this topic even comes up, because Christ is out preaching amongst the crowds and somebody says, hey, you know, what's, you know, this is all well and good, but where's all this going? You know, where's this end going to end? I mean, is this, you know, what's the end story here? And first of all, Christ tells them that in the end days, a lot of people, a very knowledgeable people, people that you would consider learned people of the day, are going to be sent forth with a tremendous amount of disinformation. And it's going to be so unbelievably thick that you're not going to be able to tell up from down. That's basically what he tells them. And then so they go, well, you know, if that's the case, what do we do? How do we know that the end days, and this, of course, what Christ is talking about is the kingdom of heaven and et cetera, and the gate to heaven. And so that's why it's interesting that when the Heaven's Gate group named their group, that's what they were talking about. And so anyway, interestingly enough, they were waiting for a comet. Now, anybody who studies history would understand that comets have something to do with history. And of course, that's been completely blotted out of any history that you would read. But once again, why was there such an effort to silence this group? And what is, like I say, really not well known is that there were probably at least 30,000 people converging on Los Angeles when that happened to join them and to go and sit out on the hillside outside of Los Angeles, basically camp out until this comet came by. And they don't want anything related to comets. That's why the news media keeps pounding this little dirty snowball, icy wanderer garbage onto you, the public, because they don't want people to understand the real story. Okay, that's why the Macy's Day Parade exists. They don't want you to think about Thanksgiving and the real meaning of Thanksgiving, that these people were being persecuted for their beliefs. They had to leave where they were in England, go up to Amsterdam, buy a boat and cross the Atlantic. Not exactly something you would do for a good time. This is like your only option. If you don't, you're going to be in prison, you know, in shackles. Not a good day. And so it seems like everything that is holy and sacred is being confiscated, obfuscated, and done away with in modern society. So what do you hear about on TV? In fact, as I was reviewing for this show, I pulled up a webpage. I could even read it for all the ads popping up about Black Friday, and I could buy this, or you can get a sale on this, or get a new car, or get whatever it was. I mean, I couldn't read the article. So much stuff was popping up on my webpage. And so anyway, getting back to the end day prophecy of Christ. So Christ comes back and he says, here's what you look for. Very simple. And he could have said, look for a comet and all the side effects. But these were simple people. They didn't understand what a comet was. Remember, they didn't understand about atmosphere. It wasn't until the 16, 1700s until Kepler came along and said, hey, these comet things are way out there, you know. And then Halley was at around the same time. Those guys were commensurate in time frame and realized that Halley's comet came back and returned on its orbit. And Halley's was a periodic comet. And then they went back into time and discovered the other events where Halley's Comet had appeared and was visible from Earth. It was in some of the tapestries through the early Middle Ages, etc. Went all the way back to the Chinese had seen it. And so now it became established that comets were an entity out there. Prior to that, it was Aristotelian philosophy that said comets were fire activity up in the atmosphere, something burning up in the atmosphere. That was the level of understanding up until the 1600s. So Christ couldn't come off and say, well, it's, you know, just look for a comet and all of its side effects. So what he does is he lists them. And he goes, the stars will seem to fall from the heavens, the firmament will be shaken, the moon will disappear from view, there's other passages that the moon will turn to blood. It could be a number of effects due to passing comet that could cause that. And in the end, he said, you will see the Son of Man riding on a cloud in the sky, which implies a comet. Everything you see in this passage is talking about a comet. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to talk about here by saying that, you know, the prophecies talk about times of stress in society, of stress in the world, stress amongst men and mankind, etc. So pretty much you could pick any point in history, as far as I'm aware, that there were stress. I mean, the pilgrims could have believed that there was a time of great stress. I mean, they had to get on this stupid little boat and cross the North Atlantic in the ferocious winds of gales of November. And, you know, I mean, you could have imagined that would be the end days stress time, or, you know, what's going on today, etc. But in terms of when this is going to happen, and then he ends up by saying, Christ says that no man knows the date. In other words, and you hear this all the time, I mean, being in the industry that I'm in, talking about comets and ancient disasters, etc., these things could happen at any time, and major incidents have happened in the past. So it's interesting that Christ ends this by saying, hey, nobody knows when this is going to happen. So all of the soothsayers and all of the people on the internet running around, jumping up and down, you know, predicting the end of the world, etc., something that I do not do, constantly being accused of this, but I don't. I don't predict dates. People are always saying back in the Planet X days, I did more to dispel the goofiness of Planet X than anybody, yet I was accused of being a Planet Xer. Well, I was studying Planet X type topics long before anybody ever used the term Planet X in the sense that we see it today. Planet X was a traditional astronomical term that went back into the Middle Ages. Planet X was a term, was a name given to some celestial object that had not been named yet. So they called it Planet X. And then once it received a name, it would then be relieved of the term Planet X. And so X simply meaning, you know, an undesignated name, and not 10. It just was coincident with the 10th planet, since X is the Roman numeral number for 10. Since there was believed that there were 9 planets, including Pluto, then this, it was sometimes interpreted as the 10th planet. But be that as it may, I don't make predictions, I don't pick dates, I don't say that the world is going to end on a certain date. If I have data, like I'm talking about the comet 46P Wortmann that's coming by, I made it very clear that this does not appear to be any kind of dangerous comet. It may show some interesting visual effects, but I make the calls as I see them. I'm not a fearmonger. People have tried to use my name to create fearmongering, and then, you know, I have to spend vast amounts of time, you know, dispelling it. The CIA has created clips of my voice where they chopped apart shows, actual radio shows of mine, to make it sound like I'm predicting Planet X is coming very soon, and you know, will wreak havoc on Earth, and that's not the case. You know, so anyway, going back to the original story. So right now, prefacing this by stating that there's no indication that there's end of the world, end times going on now or any time in the future that I can see, I want to read this passage, and this is very important because it gets back to what are they afraid of? Why, you know, why the Macy's Day Parade in place of the real meaning of Thanksgiving? Okay, so anyway, this is the verses of Matthew 13:24-36. And so anyway, it says, but in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, I just want to clarify this. I'm just picking this off of some passages online. And the problem here is that the real story is not that the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The firmament will be shaken. Now, the firmament was the old term when they believed that the earth was surrounded by the sky and the sky sat on the distant mountaintops. But the firmament included the land itself, was the sky and the land. So the true passage is that the firmament will be shaken. In other words, the mountains, the mountains will be shaken, and the moon will not give its light. The other way this is actually stated is that the moon will turn to blood. The sun will be darkened, will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. Now, the stars falling from the sky are the meteor streams. The firmament being shaken is the action at a distance gravitational wave of a large passing comet nucleus. The sun darkening is due to the fact that the Earth would be passing through the comet tail, which it would on a large comet tail. In fact, I had made calculations based on comet Hale-Bopp. If Earth would have passed through the tail of Hale-Bopp, it would have taken us about 40 days and 40 nights, and we would have been completely darkened at that time. It would have blotted out the light of the sun. And the same with the moon. If the sun is not shining, then the moon will not give its light because the sunlight has been blocked. And then it goes on to say, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Well, the clouds, once again, implying cometary water-type activity. But remember that the water is not coming from the nucleus. And the implication in science today is that comet nuclei are little. They don't talk about big ones. In the comet nucleus of Hale-Bopp, we know, was planetary in size. And I have a whole DVD on this, that it was a very large object. Yet NASA says, oh, it was 42 miles across. Well, that's absolute absurdity. And then it goes on and talks about the end of the earth. And then it says, this is what I was saying, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. And then he goes on with some a parable type discussion, but he makes it very clear that but of that day makes nobody knows. In other words, don't go on the internet and believe every Tom, Dick, and Harry that jumps up and down says it's the end of the world or the end days. That's the but. Here's the point: if this passage is talking about a comet, which it is, very clearly, then there are people that, like I said before, that why is this not being taught in the churches? You should be going to church. When they read that passage, they read it, and they don't explain it. They just read it. And I went to a church service last Sunday, and I've been in church services since I was a kid, and I've never, ever, ever heard anybody in any denomination explain these passages. What the heck does this mean? It means a comet, a large comet, not just your average little punk Halley's Comet, little, you know, poofy doofy little thing. No, this is a big roaring machine coming through outer space and near Earth. Okay, now that in itself is a big order, because space is a big area, and Earth passing around in its orbit. There's this myth that occurred during the old Planet X days. Thank goodness that is over. And, you know, there's a myth that this Planet X thing, this hypothetical Planet X thing, would come close to Earth every time it came through the solar system, and it's simply not true because of the way orbits work. Say that an object came close to Earth on one orbit, well, it probably won't come near Earth for another 20, 30 orbits, or ever, possibly, again. So that's because outer space is a big area. Earth is a little speck of dust roaming around out orbiting the sun. And it takes about a year for it to move around in its orbit. That's what the definition of a year is, the orbit of Earth going once around the sun. And so for something, even if it was big, coming into the solar system, the probability of an encounter with Earth is really pretty small, and the probability of it coming really close to Earth is really, really small. So couple all of those low probabilities together, it's very unlikely that something big is going to come in and affect Earth. But these things do happen. They have happened. And that's where the history books are completely in denial. They just don't even talk about this. I had a friend whose wife taught honors history in some of the Florida high schools, some of the big South Florida high school. And one time I was there and I picked up the history book. This is Honors Senior History. And I went to the very beginning of the history book. This is World History, Honors Senior, you know, ready to go to college, supposed to know everything. And I looked in the very beginning and there was nothing about the beginning of man or the Great Flood, or Noah's Ark, or the Moses event. There was nothing. I said, well, where are all these events? He says, oh, we don't teach that. That's just myth. That's not true history. And I've asked this too when I've gone to various churches. And I've asked pastors. I said, well, what about this story about the, you know, the end days, or the Moses event, and the Noah's flood? Oh, well, yeah, we don't really teach that as truth, you know. That's just in the Bible. They gloss over this. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And that's what was the very interesting thing about the Colburn. When the Colburn, which is not a Bible, it's a collection of books, when I introduced that to the Western Hemisphere in my book, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, it was immediately seized upon by the CIA and turned into a crazy topic with links to Planet X, etc. It didn't have any links to Planet X. Never did, never will. But you had people basically absconding with the Colburn, turning it into a crazy topic, because it actually discussed what the current Bibles have completely left out through the centuries. The current Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, have been completely washed of any real content. And it's just the way it is. But if you go up to the higher levels of, say, in the Catholic Church, or possibly in other churches, although they tend to gloss over these topics, or if you go into the higher levels, say, of the CIA, which is the world police force of the world bankers, and also controlling, very controlling of information, especially scientific information in the United States, which affects the rest of the world, basically, because everybody thinks that everything that comes out of the United States is gold and good. But the end result is, and I'll talk a little bit about this, they are deathly afraid that the public will understand the true meaning of these few passages. So when the Jonestown people moved away and started a colony and were becoming successful, they were in an area where there was abundant rain, could grow their own food. A lot of people don't know this. The first thing they knew about Jonestown was that there was a mass suicide and these bunch of crazy people, preppers or, you know, and if you look, even if as people were starting to prepare, not so much anymore because there's not the imminent threat of the government marching in and shooting up a town or a ranch or something that has existed, you know, before 2 years ago. There was a lot of protectionism at the family level, at the local level, where people were like basically banding together and becoming what were known as preppers, people that were preparing to defend themselves against the government. You really don't hear about that much anymore. There were even some TV shows that tried to show these people as just nutcases. That's the impression they wanted to give to the general public, that anybody who would take time to prepare to take care of themselves was some kind of Looney Tune nutcase. And, you know, that if you bought preparedness food or if you bought a water filter or something like that, you were some kind of Looney Tune. When in reality, the government out of the other side of its mouth was saying, making the completely open statement that if there's an emergency, don't expect the government to come there and do anything, because they don't have the resources. Okay, so anyway, back to this idea that groups moving away from the norm and becoming isolated to take care of themselves is not in the best interest of the governance of the world. And so that's why the Catholic Church, that's why and they should be at the forefront of this. So last Sunday, when you would go to a church sermon, and this is in the normal cycle, so whatever church you happen to go to, whatever denomination, it would have read these passages. But I guarantee you that nobody, none of the ministers, none of the preachers, none of the priests, none of the bishops, none of the cardinals, not even the Pope, made a single word, and never would, and never will, and never has, made a statement about what this passage really means. And oddly, when people take it and actually react to it, that's when you get into trouble. Now, my work has been going on since, you know, the late 1970s. It's been very controversial, of course. I've gotten in trouble from some of the major players in the astronomy community for publishing my work, dealing with the fact that comets are not dirty snowballs, a particularly bland idea, something that clearly is true. Comets, you know, how many pictures of comet nuclei have we taken? There's no ice or water or snow. They're pitch black. A lot of them have a tarry carbon-rich material baked on the surface, like tar, literally tar on the surface, the hydrocarbons, and nothing coming off the nucleus. So how does this tail, which you can see at a distance, how does it form? Well, it's being drawn in towards the comet nucleus. But with the small comets, the ions become neutralized and blow away in the solar wind. And so we've had spacecraft orbiting comet nuclei, viewing them, taking pictures, taking videos of comet nuclei, and nothing coming off the nucleus. The nucleus of Hale-Bopp grew tremendously during its six-year passage through the solar system. And so that was the first object that we really saw that was becoming a planet, that had all the characteristics of a object becoming a planet, with its orbit slowing down. It went from a 4,200-year orbit to a 2,600-year orbit in a single passage, and that's because of the tail drag. And so once again, you go back to the end-day prophecies of Christ, and he doesn't say, look up in the sky for a comet, because even today, people would not recognize that, because people have been sent, experts, so-called experts, have been sent out to lead you astray, so you have no clue what a comet is. And he knew that. And the reason he knew that is because the leaders would not allow it. And why is that? Because it's the one thing they fear most. The thing that a leader fears most is his people turning their back on him and walking away and paying attention to something else. That's why leaders are leaders. They're typically paranoid. They're trying to maintain their power, or the power of the people who put them there, in the economy, in the military, in the all of the other levels of people who are vying for power based on governance, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a political system, whether it's international, whether it's Interpol, which has been in the news lately, which is an international political organization with its own police force, etc. Those organizations are there to maintain power. The CIA is there to maintain power. Their job, their whole function, is that if they see anybody stepping out of line, they go neutralize it. It's a threat. That's why if you look at Wikipedia, for example, which is totally CIA controlled today, you will, or any of the other Google, Facebook, Twitter, very, very controlled. If you do a Google search, you know, what are you going to come up with? All of this very controlled to manipulate the way the public thinks. Public school, completely manipulated to dumb students down to the point where they don't know anything. They can hardly read and write, let alone reason, let alone understand their own history. And if you're going to target a country, target the youth, because it's just a quick generation. It's a quick 10 years to the point where those people are going to come out into the public and start making decisions, voting. And, you know, if their brains are all twisted from an education that prevented them from understanding real history and filled their heads full of non-history, you've basically taken over a country, because they're going to be the people moving. And you know, the younger people, although it's very strange in the United States today, people who are older are still working. They're still managing companies into their 70s, 80s even. So you still have groups of people who understand what happened in the past, or at least have a semblance of understanding, whereas the young people are just completely clueless. They have no idea of history. That's why they have, you know, as far as, say, monuments, etc., they don't understand the true history. The history that they have been taught is completely distorted, completely out of line with any reality, and that's why they, you know, are very easily manipulated. So the whole point of this discussion on Thanksgiving is to go back to roots of the, say, traditions, the very core roots of Thanksgiving, of Christian beliefs, of and try and expose the issue that, and like I say, I didn't bring these topics up. The news media brought these topics up. I'm just reacting and trying to educate the public out there that there, you know, there's an ongoing effort to completely cover topics that would allow you to set your mind free from the control, this constant control that's going on there. And so for the news media to bring up Jonestown and the Heaven's Gate issue in the same week in various publications, like I say, blanket coverage, tells you that they're very concerned. They're, and it's the same time, the exact same time as this scripture would be read in all of the Christian faith churches and throughout the world, basically. So why are they bringing these topics up? Not me. I'm not bringing them up. What is the coordinated effort? What's the message they're trying to send to the public? Don't break away. Just remember, just stay in your little church and be meek and mild. And when they read these passages, don't try and think about them. Don't imagine what it's really saying. Okay, enough of that. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I just want to remind you, if you're buying presents for people, I may as well capitalize off of this as much as anybody. But my water filters are the best on the planet. If you really want to get a good present for yourself or somebody, look into the whole house filters, the MR5s on the webpage. Those remove all of the chemicals from your public water supply, etc., or the personal filters, the kitchen gravity filters, or the inline filters above sink, below the sink, or replacement filter elements. If you know somebody that has a gravity feed water filter, the Imperials, all of these are on sale on my webpage, jmccsci.com. So, and of course, all my books, my CDs, DVDs. And relative to today's show, if you want to really get an earful, pick up the e-DVD that deals with Hale-Bopp, Planet X, and Ancient Celestial Disasters. It's a review of Hale-Bopp. And so, anyway, have a good Thanksgiving, and keep your thinking hats on as the public. Be aware and also respect the family unit. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.